This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, this is Steve Sharippa, better known as Bobby Bacala. It's 3 o'clock, and the Michael K. Show starts now, right here on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Michael, Don, Peter, do me a favor. Don't screw this thing up, would you?
Definitely not. And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Tuesday. It is March 2nd, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're apart, but we're all together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, well, that is certainly your responsibility. Now, we have an interesting topic to kick off the show, but I want to start the show, Peter, with an example of the greatness of Don LaGreca.
Okay.
I mean, you can listen to the show. What comes out of the speaker tells you that he's great. Everybody loves Don. Don is the favorite of the three of us. I think you'd admit that, Peter.
No.
What?
Oh, yes. Fine, sure.
So, let me read from my text. At 1:29 today, I was sitting thinking, you know, I'm always thinking about the show. And I texted to Don, "You feel like knocking out a list today?" About 30 seconds later, on it. On it. Just like that, on it. And you know what? He's got a list at 4:30 and we're excited about it.
Well, we can sense on days where it makes a lot of sense. But full disclosure, I got a great recommendation from somebody on Twitter about a topic. And I don't want to give it away because I want you guys to be surprised when I throw it out there. And I responded, and now, thanks to the Michael K. Show Twitter handle, eliciting suggestions, I am being inundated with top five suggestions by listeners and fans and family. So I've got a dearth of ones to go through here. So whenever you want it, it's ready.
No, I think, isn't a dearth, there's not that much.
That's right. I'm sorry. It's a wealth.
Yeah, a wealth. Thank you.
I had a dearth.
You had a dearth.
Now you have wealth.
Now I have wealth.
It's better to have wealth than dearth,
I would think, unless you're Gandhi.
Darth Vader.
I get very excited about the Don list. It always leads to, like, a continued conversation throughout the day. Don, do you feel very strongly that this will...
Well, yeah, this is right in both of your wheelhouses.
Love it.
I think there's going to be a lot of conversation. A lot of conversation.
Interesting. Speaking of conversation, let's get windy right now. We all know how exciting the Knicks have been. They're one game over 500 for the first time since the 2013-2014 season, this late in the season. I believe it took 25 more games, if my math is correct, for them to get their 18th win last year. 25 more games than they've played so far. They have had an over 500 record at the end of the season just three times in the last 20 years. Three times! So they got a chance to do that. Now, they play San Antonio tonight. We'll have the game right here on 98.7.
Sure we will.
And then they play Detroit at the Garden. Detroit, the worst team in the Eastern Conference. So they're a game over 500. If they could beat San Antonio, which is in the second game of a back-to-back after losing in overtime to the Nets last night, and then beat the Pistons, boom, they're three games over. Then they have a really arduous schedule after that. And we'll see exactly what the deal is with the Knicks. But the Knicks are showing basketball. The fans and, most importantly, the players in the game, they could be a viable landing spot. Now, listen to our very own Windy, Brian Windhorse. He's part of a podcast, a very good podcast, called The Hoops Collective.
Sure he is.
And he said that a star player is going to force his way to the Knicks within a year. Here's Windhorse.
I say within the next 12 months, a star/superstar player demands a trade to New York. And I don't know who it's going to be. I have some guesses. I'm not going to say right here. I'll let you guys start thinking about that. Let's just put it this way. League executives certainly have some guesses. And I say by next year's trade deadline, a player, a superstar, you know, all-star player tries to force his way there.
Now, as you're all sitting there guessing in your mind, shouting at the speaker, Jay Will of Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin, you can hear them every day, Monday through Friday, from 8 to 10, right here on this fine station. He had a guess of the player, the star player, that's going to force his way to the Knicks. Here's Jay Will.
If it's not working out with Kristaps Porzingis, they can't find the right trade value. I mean, Tim Hardaway Jr. is their third best player on that team.
Yeah, but Mark Cuban ain't going to let that happen.
I'm just right. saying, I mean, Bill Duffy represents Luka Doncic. Bill Duffy also represents RJ Barrett. If there's a star that maybe doesn't feel like, hey, this organization is getting me to where I want to be, and you're watching what the Knicks are doing.
Oh, no, that'd be big time for the NBA if he was to make that move.
Luka Doncic in New York City
with the Knicks? But I don't think Mark Cuban would let that get away, though. Why would he let that get away?
I'm not saying he would. I'm just saying sometimes if you're in a place like Dallas, and if you're not winning, or if you're barely making the playoffs, and you're having to do everything, and you see what they're building here in New York. You're seeing guys like Worldwide West, Leon Rose. It could be an intriguing prospect.
I can't see Luka doing that. I mean, he's treated like royalty by Mark Cuban. Dallas is a wonderful place to live. There's no state tax. Dirk's spent his whole career there. So I don't know if he's going to be forcing his way out. And if he doesn't like to play with Porzingis, you know what? They'll get rid of Porzingis. But yeah. Is there a player out there? I guess the purpose of letting you hear that sound is that for so long, Don and I and Peter of late, we have fought this narrative for the most part. Well, players don't want to play for the Knicks because of Dolan. I thought it was malarkey from the very beginning. They don't want to play for the Knicks because the Knicks were losers. They were dysfunctional, and you could say they were dysfunctional because of Dolan. Make that argument if you want. That's fine. He hired the wrong people. He hired people that just didn't do their job right. They were inept at their job, like Phil Jackson. And now it seems like he's made the right move, bringing in Leon Rose and Worldwide West and keeping Scott Perry and then bringing in Thibodeau. Players would want to play in New York if they think they could win in New York. That's what the Nets did. They made themselves competitive. And then all of a sudden, they score the Grand Slam and get both Durant and Kyrie. And then on top of that, Harden wants to go there. I think the Knicks could be that same destination. An owner is an owner is an owner. I mean, do you think the players on the Nets care that the owner of the Nets is Joe Tsai? So, no, you care that people that are running basketball operations. If you like Leon Rose, if you have respect for Worldwide West, and if you think Tom Thibodeau is a great coach, you're going to want to be here because if you can make it here, there's nothing like it. Walt Frazier, his entire life, because he won two championships here, has never had to buy dinner in New York. Joe Namath has never had to buy dinner in New York. Derek Jeter has never had to reach into his pocket in New York. Keith Hernandez, Ron Darling, anybody who has won in New York, they're kings forever. People in the NBA know it. I'll tell you what, if the Nets end up winning a championship this year, and they could, they're not going to be met with the same lionization as a Knick would. They just not. So if the Knicks can complete this season and make the playoffs and show that there's growth, I don't think it's Luka, but maybe there is a disgruntled star player that says, that's where I want to go. And that's why I think the narrative about Dolan has always been wrong. The narrative is the Knicks have been terrible, dysfunctional, and I don't want to go there. But if all of a sudden they're not terrible and they're not dysfunctional, why wouldn't you want to play here?
Listen, unless you're an owner that's got some like real bad reputation, owners are basically judged on how their team does. There's no better example of that than George Steinbrenner. You know, George Steinbrenner buys the Yankees. A few years later, they're winning back-to-back World Series. He's the greatest owner in the world. Then all of a sudden, he starts messing around, gets in trouble. You know, now the Yankees are an embarrassment. You know, in the early 90s, he was the owner of the team. The Yankees had dysfunction. He's an awful owner. Who wants to play for the Yankees? How many lists, Michael, of great players didn't want to go even talk to the Yankees when they were free agents? And then he comes off, he gets suspended. Now he puts the right baseball people in with Watson and Stick, and then obviously what you have now. And now he's the greatest owner in the world again when they win four championships in 5 years. The Maras, they're an institution in the 50s and the 60s. And all of a sudden they're awful, and they're a joke. And then they hire George Young and Ernie Accorsi, and then they're great again. Flagship franchise. Now they're a joke again because they're losing. Owners are always judged on how their team does. And the team does well based on who you hire. So Jim Dolan was a joke. All of a sudden, he's hired the right people. Now he's not a joke anymore. So that's all it is. You hit the nail on the head. Why would anybody want to play in the biggest market in the country on a loser? A dysfunctional mess.
With a tough media.
With a media and a fan base that's going to let you know how much you're struggling.
Now, all that being said, can I just do myself and fans of the Knicks a favor by not getting your hopes up? That 1 year at above 500 ball is going to result in landing Luka Doncic?
No, but maybe that particular player? But all of a sudden now, they're good for 5 minutes, and you've got discussions about how maybe players want to play here.
But who's having the discussion?
Well, it's obviously connected. I mean, Windhorst is a pretty connected guy. He says he's talking to executives in the NBA who are telling him that players are telling the executives that might be a destination.
Weren't there connected people saying that the Knicks were going to land someone a couple years ago?
True, they thought they were going to get Durant.
I'm just saying, until I hear a player say it.
Well, the players.
Players can't say it. I mean, they'll say it when they want to go.
Exactly. That's my point.
Peter, the KD stuff was wishful thinking from wishful thinking media that saw the cap space.
And saw that Kleiman grew up a Knicks fan. Like the agent's going to make the player go to the team.
People were wishful thinking, connecting the dots. And again, this is just one report. But I got to tell you, when do we ever, ever hear this? And again, the team's been good for 5 minutes. So let's say they continue to be good and they make the playoffs. And then next year, because we're not talking about now. They're talking about next trading deadline, which is going to be basically a year from now. If this team makes the playoffs and did exactly what the Nets did, and they're competing and they're a four seed next year, and now they've proven that it's not some fluke.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that's fair. I think any team that's playing consistent competitive basketball, it's not unreasonable to think that they could score a good free agent. And yes, I agree. What they do on the court is more important than the reputation of Dolan. I just also would say that what we're hearing today is the same. As of right now, the only difference is that the Knicks have been playing good basketball. That's not actually based on anything. I think it's Windhorst doing what people had done previously, getting their hopes up for a story that would be great for the media.
Oh, I disagree. Don's right. Windhorst is talking to people within the industry, and that's the general feeling. I don't think he's heard a player say it. I think the Durant stuff was connecting the dots nonsense, which we saw with Peyton Manning was going to sign with the Dolphins because he has a home there, and Durant was going to come to the Knicks because of Kleiman. None of it was true.
Why did we believe LeBron might come here?
No, we hoped he would. We didn't think he would. Again, that was just, he'd want to play in a big market. Nobody ever said that. LeBron never had a chance to come here. The second time he'd even meet with them.
The truly connected people during LeBron, nobody had him going to the Knicks. It was the wishful thinking of why wouldn't he want to come to the Knicks? It's the biggest stage in the world. And then I think LeBron had some fun by going to the Boys and Girls Club in Greenwich, like a stone's throw away from their practice facility. God, you should have been around the studio that day, Peter, when they announced where the announcement was going to be. Oh, my God. And again, Windhorst could be wrong. You might end up being right at the end of the day, Peter. I'm just saying that this is in the infancy of a team that's actually staking a half a step in the right direction, and now there's reports that maybe somebody might demand a trade here. So it doesn't take much. So if this team ever made, Peter, if this team made the playoffs this year and are on the way to making the playoffs next year and really look like they're a very good basketball team,
yeah, you could dream.
Then you're going to see. Then we'll find out if Michael and I are right, that it's not Dolan. It's not their practice facility being in Westchester and everybody living in Manhattan, that it's not the taxes in New York. It's not the tough media. It's not the tough fans. It's that they don't want to go to a loser, and now they become a winner. And they might be the final piece to getting this team back.
And we keep saying it. It's so silly. The same owner owns the Rangers, and they got one of the biggest free agents on the market in the last couple of years in Panarin. So he's a different person for hockey, but he's repulsive when it comes to basketball players.
Well,
that makes sense.
I mean, but it is a different player base with a totally different style, culture, personalities. I mean, the NHL, you're talking about half the league – 80% of the league is not American.
Yeah, but
no, I get all of that.
Canadians and Russians don't want to win. They don't want to go someplace where there is going to be that things are going to function in the right way, where they've got a chance to play at their absolute best. I mean, I think they all want the same thing. Believe me, there's dysfunctional franchises in the NHL that nobody wants to play for, right? Because they lose, not necessarily who the owner is, but the reputation was sullied for the Knicks because of the fact they hadn't won in so long.
And they've been terrible. They've been an embarrassment. They have bad coaches. Again, the people that Dolan has hired, those are going to be the guys that make the difference. Worldwide West is respected in basketball circles worldwide. Leon Rose has been the agent for some of the biggest players, so there's trust there. And Thibodeau is a legitimately great coach, and you see guys like Derrick Rose will swear by him. That's the deal. And maybe the player that might want to come here will be Karl Anthony Towns. Leon was his agent. The problem is that Towns and Thibodeau didn't get along when Thibodeau was the coach of Minnesota. We'll see if that could change. Maybe that's the guy they're talking about. I also think if Windhorst is going to throw that out, you should give the names too, but I'm not his editor, but there are big names out there playing on bad teams. Maybe it is a Karl Anthony Towns. What you'd have to do is sit down with an NBA roster in front of you, all the teams, and say, who are the great players on bad teams? Bradley Beal's a great player on a bad team. Karl Anthony Towns is a great player on a bad team. And you could go up and down the rosters and see, okay, bad team, great player. They probably want to escape, and maybe they want to escape to New York. Now, let's throw a little splash of cold water on all this. Kurt Goldsberry, who does the Hoops Collective with Windhorst, had this to say about the Knicks and the run that they're on right now. So here's Kurt Goldsberry.
I think it might be a mirage. I think they might be fake good. I'm worried the numbers suggest this isn't real. Let me explain that. You mentioned these crazy offensive numbers. You know, there's something called three-point mania happening in the NBA. We know this. An average jump shot in the NBA for the first time in league history is now worth over a point. 10 years ago, it was worth about 0.84 points. So it's crazy. And it's because of the three-point to mid-range ratio, which we all know is changing and how. I don't want to get into that, but I want to contextualize the Knicks' defensive performance with that in mind. Knicks opponents currently, Brian, have the worst three-point shooting luck in the NBA. Not only are they only making 32% of their threes, which is the lowest, their shot quality suggests that number should be higher. And not only that, Knicks opponents are making just 29% of their uncontested threes, which is by far the lowest such mark in the NBA. For context, the best defense in the NBA is the Lakers. Their opponents are making 45% of those uncontested threes. So the shooting gods have been smiling down on the Knicks, pumping up those defensive efficiency numbers. But those numbers suggest that their luck might run out. They got a string of hard opponents coming up. And like you said, the bunched up thing, I think, is the key. Right now they're in fourth, but they're two games away from being in 10th.
Now, I would agree with Kirk on one thing. The uncontested threes at 29%. Look at the teams that the Knicks have played over the last, what, nine games? Or in the month of February, just say. Terrible. They're going to miss those shots because they're bad. They're bad players. They're bad teams. I think that after the All-Star break, when you take a look at the teams that the Knicks are going to play, then that's going to be the litmus test on whether or not this is legitimate. Oh. I have it right here. All right, after the break, they're going to play Milwaukee, Oklahoma City, Brooklyn, and Philly all on the road. They could go 0-4. They could go 1-3. I don't think they're going to go 3-1 or 4-0. That's going to be the test.
But that's
still not a knock on them because in the past they would lose to bad teams. So they've obviously gotten better. But before anybody makes them a team that has a chance to win a round in the playoffs, don't get sucked in because I don't think they're that team yet.
But I think any logical Knicks fan will agree
that they are not. You don't put those words together.
But I'm just saying, any logical Knicks fan, I understand that they're all crazy right now, but you are nuts. And I'm sure I'll get inundated with phone calls and tweets. If you think this is the fourth best team in the conference, they're not. But they don't have to be. We were having a conversation yesterday about try to be the sixth best. Because I think when everything evens itself out, and we get closer and closer to getting to like normal basketball where a lot of the COVID protocols are gone and there's no cancellations, and we get into a rhythm again. Miami, Boston, Toronto, I think those teams are going to be better in the second half and will probably end up being better than the Knicks because I think those teams are better than the Knicks. Toronto, we'll see. And that would knock them down to seventh if those three teams end up being better. But, so we, I think anybody who thinks they're the fourth best team, they're out of their minds. But we're asking this team to be the sixth best or at least make sure that they're in that qualifying round, that they're in those play-ins where they get a chance to go to the playoffs. And I think even if they ended up 7 through 10 and had to go through that round robin, that they'd come out of it. That's fine. That's probably where they belong. But anybody to make the case that this fourth place is real is not really paying attention, and it will come back down to earth. Question is, how far back down to earth will it come?
Let's talk 1-800-919-3776. Get you involved in the conversation. Also, James Harden, who I spoke glowingly about on the soft open on the radio side, he was just named Eastern Conference Player of the Month. And when you get a chance to see him play all the time, like we do now in New York, just flip on Yes or one of the national games, he's extraordinary. And this is a guy who's won an MVP, and if anything, I underappreciated him. As a one-dimensional dribble, 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 shoot guy, you look at his line yesterday.
I mean, Michael, calm down. So what? He had 30, 14, and 15 assists, shot 12 for 23 from the floor, 3 for 7 from 3, and was a plus 16. Is that really that great?
You left out one line.
Hmm.
Zero turnovers for the point guard of the team.
Oh, and two steals. Sorry.
And you're also forgetting, Peter, clearly Michael is praising Harden to take a dig at the Knicks.
Ah, clap, because he works for Yes, Don.
But I also work for ESPN, and we have the Knicks.
No, we know. We know your plan. But, my God, what a line, man. By the way, I mean, oh, man, he's just...
He's special. He is a special talent. He really is.
He's Jim.
He is Jim. And that's why it's frustrating when... I never really understood the whole time when he was getting crushed for being dribble, 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 shoot. His line often never supported that. I would, but again, to your point, Michael, you don't see him playing. You at that point, you're just seeing the lines. But now you get to watch him play and just see how special this dude
is. Yeah, you cannot. I don't care what sport it is. You cannot truly appreciate an athlete unless you watch them every day. Highlights on SportsCenter, looking at the box score at the end of the day. That's not telling the story. You see any athlete every day, then you can truly appreciate how good or bad they are, or how overrated or underrated they are.
Now, Danilo Chaj just tweeted at me, excuse me? Yes, logical and Knicks fan goes together. Keep up with the Knicks hate. Hashtag, we got receipts. Ooh, please, please keep the receipts. I'm so afraid. There's been no one that's been more pro-Knicks than me. Later, take a walk. Go find your Knick love somewhere else then. Had it with people.
Wow, let them know.
It's all talk, Peter.
We got receipts. Like I'm supposed to wet my pants? You have receipts?
Well, I don't think anybody should be wetting their pants, but you've been challenged.
Is that a threat? We have receipts. Take your receipts. You know what you can do with your receipts?
Tell them.
Where do you want those receipts to be placed?
Maybe they should sew the receipts together like a pair of Depends and put them on me while I wet myself because I'm so afraid of your threat.
That was, wow.
That was well thought out.
It was interesting. Make it a CVS receipt that's like 8 feet long.
Well, that you don't even have to sew it together. If you strategically wrap it around your private parts, it's a diaper.
It's like a mummy.
Yeah, you could go full mummy with a CVS receipt.
You ever call your mom mummy?
Mommy?
Never mummy.
Never called her mummy.
Okay. Neither did I. But if you had, I was going to rip you. I think rich people call their mother mummy. And
mummy.
It's annoying.
Mummy.
Mumsy.
My Mumsy. Parents were ma and da. That was it.
By the way,
this is when I was an adult, too.
I got a crush.
Mom, Michael wants you to make an appearance on the show.
I'll tell you what, da is just repug.
Yeah.
It's so lazy.
It's not repug or lazy.
Ma is a thing. Okay, I'll give you that. Da. Sounds like you just had a speech problem as a child.
Even someone that said father is mother of Jace still thinks da is disrespectful.
100%. And by the way, I stand by father is mother of Jace. But... Da is, it's beyond ma adjace. Da is nothing.
Whole father is mother adjace. Both of you have some kind of Oedipus complex. You really do. I'm sorry.
Me?
Well, I don't necessarily agree with Peter, but there is the
adjace,
difference of the woman that carried you for 9 months.
Okay, but your father's still pretty important too.
Oh no, he never said he wasn't.
Exactly. Listen, I can't wait for the day I'm a father. I think about it all the time, and I truly, it's a meaningful thing for me. Can't wait for it. And I hope my children love me. I think I'll be a great dad. Mm. Even that being said, a great mom, all things equal, Don. Not like an okay mom and a great dad, right? Or the mean mom and the nice dad. All things equal. Mom and dad are both great. And they each are reaching up. You can only pick one to save off of a mountain. You may use both hands to make sure your mom doesn't hurt herself while you kick your dad off to get leverage. That's
father's mother edges.
Okay, Rex. That's your new name.
Oedipus Rex?
Yeah, you're Oedipus Rex.
It's not an Oedipus.
First of all, this is more of a not a compliment to Mindy, but you're ripping Mork. You and Mork don't have a great relationship.
I love Mork.
No, because your brother is Mork's favorite.
No, I love, that may be true, but I love my father. Love him.
Not as much as Mindy, though. You know,
but
love
yeah,
her,
my dad knows he made a great choice and lucked out, and that my mom is the gold of the family. It's okay. Michael, you honestly liked your dad as much as your mom?
I love my parents equally. I love them both. I wish they were both here.
Of course.
Oh, I'm not
saying again,
that.
This is coming from the guy that if you're not, bowing to him, you're disrespected.
Bowing? Is that the thing?
Well, it's just, I'm
in this case, yeah, you know what?
But although the actual quote would really crystallize how he thinks. But honestly, Michael, you're the one. If you were sick, you're going to go to mom.
You're going to mom.
You're going to mom. Okay, and you know what? Dad's good with that.
And dad's good with that. When my mom would go out for the night and I needed a shower and she was like, don't worry, your dad will handle the shower. The fear that would come into my five-year-old brain of, oh my God, the temperature, the shampoo in the eyes, it's going to be a nightmare.
This is more a reflection of Mork than anything. I mean, you have a bad relationship with your dad. I'm sad about it.
No, listen, I've gotten over the fact.
Right from the very McGovern thing. He pushed your mom into the McGovern campaign. That turned out awful. He has made some bad choices. I get it.
Little Michael K. in the Bronx doesn't feel well. Tummy ache. Mom and dad are both sitting on the couch. Who are you running to? You're running
to both of them.
Your mom.
Ma, dad, I don't feel good.
Oh, and you know what your dad would say? Stop acting like a little baby and smack you up. Based on every story you tell about your dad, you say you feel sick. He's probably showing up to your school to punch someone in the face.
He actually did go to school once and put a teacher up against the wall. The teacher said something bad about me. Newworth, he just put him by the neck, took him up by his hand, and lifted him off the ground and said, you said that about my son? I loved it. My dad was the best.
The prosecution rests.
All right, let's take a break. Towel off. We got a lot to do. That went to strange places. But I'm
thanks
here. Kay, LaGreca, Rex, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. It's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
Thank you, Mike Brouncher. I really appreciate it. Okay, I think this is going to be fun. This is by request. Now, we've done this before with football. We're going to do it for the first time with basketball. Okay. These are the top five NBA team seasons since 1990 where the team did not win the championship.
Oh, wow.
Can I go first this time, Peter?
Oh, it's an easy one. Go for it.
No, you go. I want to give you
No.
The year that the Warriors won 73.
If you want full credit, I need the year. Otherwise, Peter steals.
Peter, you steal.
Let's see. What year is it now? I believe that's the 20.
The year before Durant got
2017
there.
Warriors.
All right, I'm going to give Michael the credit. This was the 15-16 Golden State Warriors. 73-9, best record in the history of the NBA. They had the MVP that year, if you remember, a guy named Curry. But they lost in the finals to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And that's a tough one. And that's got to be, gentlemen, number one. Because what good's having the best record in the history of the NBA if you don't have a title with it, correct?
Oh, yeah.
This isn't an easy list.
Since 1990, so I wanted to at least narrow it down to where we're all in our wheelhouse as far as top fives are concerned. Because there's a couple of later ones, like the 72-73 Celtics, 68-win team, best record in the NBA by 8 games, didn't win. But let's do it since 90, shall we? And this old Daniel Sims was the one that recommended this to me earlier today. So.
This is a crazy one I'll just throw out there, and I'll probably get it wrong. But, hey, let's have some fun, shall we? Actually, no, you know what I'll do instead?
What's that?
I'll go with last year's Milwaukee Bucks.
I really thought about that, and I wanted to put them on the list, but it seemed unfair just because of the pandemic and the pause for 4 months and playing in a neutral site.
So you thought
site.
About it. You thought about it.
But I did think about it. Right, Andrew? Thought about it. They were a 56-win team, best record in the NBA, MVP. They had all the credentials, but I just couldn't do it to them in good conscience because of the pandemic. But a good pull, Peter. Good pull.
Hmm. All right, well, Michael's deliberating. How about the 1996 Utah Jazz?
Oh, thought about the Jazz.
Well, thought about it.
I did. Really could have been any of those back-to-back teams, but that one specifically I thought about. But I have them in the considered list. Two great players. Hornacek was on that team as well. Good team. Not on the list. But a good pull.
Oh, good team. Not on the list.
All right, well, Michael's thinking about it. How about... What about the Seattle Supersonics that lost to the Bulls with Gary Payton and Sean Kemp?
I thought about that team... But I went with another one of the Seattle teams.
Oh.
Another one of the Seattle teams.
Yeah, because they really flamed out.
How about the Heat team that lost to the Mavericks?
Thought about that too, but they only had a 57-win season. It was their first year together. So they were considered, but I didn't have them on the list.
How about the Barkley KJ Suns?
The Barkley KJ Suns, Peter.
Is number two.
Is number four.
Okay.
92-93. They were 62-20. Best record in the NBA. Charles Barkley was the MVP. And, of course, they lost in the finals in 6 games to the Chicago Bulls. 92-93 Suns, number four.
The wacky one I was going to throw out earlier, which probably isn't in there, is... The Knickerbocker team that lost to Houston.
No.
They weren't that special, though, huh?
No, though they were special. They went to the final, but...
Won, what, 60 games? 59
they
games?
They were a really good team. You know, I think they lost to a better team, but...
How about the... how about your Trailblazers in 18-19?
No. Yeah. I thought about the 90-91 Trailblazers.
I was going to say, what about that one, though?
But just got them in the considered list.
Wow. How
about they had the home court against Chicago.
How about the Spurs?
No, actually, it was the year before they lost to the Lakers in the conference final. And then, with a lesser team, went to the final and lost to the Bulls. The 90-91 team lost to the Lakers in the conference final. Go ahead, Michael.
Spurs 2000 and 2001?
No.
Really? They finished first in the Western Conference.
Well, there's a lot of teams that finish first, Michael. But do they crack the top five?
Is there anything glaring we're not thinking about, like a real...
There's one. There's a glaring one. They had the MVP, had the 7th best record all time in the history of the NBA.
I don't know if you'd go here. But how about the Sac Kings, 0-1-0-2?
They were on the considered list, 0-1-0-2, lost to the Lakers in the conference final.
61-21.
But not in the top five.
Joke.
Why is it a joke? You didn't even hear the rest of them. Who are you taking out? That's what I need to know before you start throwing out a joke.
Why is it so nasty? That's what I don't get.
You called it a joke. There's a couple of – there's one that's fairly recent. Actually, it's more recent. How about this for a hint? Than the Warriors. And it's got a player we've talked about quite a bit here early in the show.
How about the Suns, the Steve Nash Suns? I think they won 62 games.
The 04-05 Suns were considered, but not on the list.
Please.
Who are you taking out? That was a D'Antoni Suns team.
Someone more recent than the Warriors.
Oh, yeah.
And it includes a player we've talked about today.
Yeah, won the MVP.
Houston Rockets.
That's right. The 17-18 Houston Rockets, number 3, 65-17.
That's a great
James
call.
Harden, MVP. We all remember that year. Didn't even make it to the final.
The essence of Jim, yeah.
How about the Supersonics in 94? They were 63-19. Is that the other Seattle team you're talking
about? That's the one, 93-94 team. Best record by 5 games in the NBA that year. And the reason I included them over the 96 team, Peter, is because this is the team that lost to Denver and Dikembe Mutombo in the first round.
That's a great, great call. And I'm
That's number 5.
So we're looking for number 2?
94 Sonics are 5. 93 Suns are 4. 18 Rockets are 3. 16 Warriors are 1. And this one is number 2 and deserves to be.
How about the Pistons?
No.
In 05-06, they won 64 games.
No, not better than this team. This team had the 7th best record in the history of the NBA. They were a 67-15 team, had the MVP of the league.
Ah! Or Orlando Magic with Shaq.
No, the 95 Magic were considered.
Ah!
The 95 Magic were considered, but not on the list.
I don't know. I don't have anything for you.
Peter?
And I'm embarrassed.
One last shot.
All right.
No?
One last shot. Well, hold on.
This music is what gets me. Yeah, I got to tell you.
It really puts the pressure on, doesn't it?
It really does. You just feel like, you know.
Blame Andrew.
I got it.
Yes.
No, it's 86.
That's a shame.
But you said it's the 7th best record. And the 7th best record in NBA history is from 1986 Celtics.
I know, but it's like a 4 or 5-way tie, Michael. So look at the rest of them. Throw one out.
How about the Mavericks in 07?
There you go, Michael. Great job. Good poll, Michael. That's a really good research poll. Dallas, 67-15. Best record in the NBA. As we said, 7th best in the history of the sport. Dirk Nowitzki, the MVP, but no title for the Mavericks. So the 94 Sonics, 93 Suns, 18 Rockets, 07 Mavs, and the 16 Warriors. Don LaGreca's top 5 NBA teams.
Beautiful list. Beautiful
list. To not win a title.
Carlin said, how do you leave off the 08-09 Cavs? He said, 66 wins, LeBron was the MVP. He wants to know.
Well, they went to the final. Who are you taking out?
Who are you taking out?
I mean, they went to the final every year.
But
I mean, sometimes
you said without winning a championship.
I know, but he can come up with his own list. And he can put them out, and he can put the Cavs on if he wants. But I like
so you're so, you, there should be a Daily Chris is what you're saying.
Hey, listen, Greeny stole my idea. Why not Carlin?
When did Greeny steal your idea?
He's got a top 5 every day.
I'd like to stand up for Don for a moment with that Carlin poll of the Cavs there.
Okay.
That Cavs team, yes, they won 66 games, but they are kind of renowned for almost not being that good of a team. That it was
right.
Kind of like a LeBron and then a bunch of random... Like, look at the rest of that team that LeBron dragged to the finals. Daniel Gibson was a starter. Zydrunas Ilgauskas, Sasha Pavlovic, Zerbiak, Varejao. Like, that was that team. So they won 66 games, but that team, I don't think, can compete with some of the other teams on Don's list.
So we're going to put style points on 67 wins? Or however many wins they had?
Well, but we're talking 63. About who were the best teams. So... I would put some of those teams above them that were like a full roster of loaded squads, whereas this one was LeBron and a bunch of just random dudes. I'll take the other ones above this.
I'm with them on that.
Now, Michael, what that is,
I didn't.
Michael, what this is kind of like a new school education on what a great teammate is, what Andrew's doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Take notes.
Well, you know, Michael doesn't understand.
No. I don't stick up for people if they're wrong. If he thinks you're wrong and is still sticking up for you, he's a fraud.
Listen, Michael, you know, you're sitting there defending your boy Carlin. If it was so obvious.
When I sell something, then I mean it. People know that I mean it. I'm not just like saying it because, oh, that's a teammate. Sorry, that's not how I roll.
No, you're being argumentative because, first of all, you're fighting a point that wasn't even made by you. It was made by Chris. If it was such an obvious answer, 66 wins, LeBron James did win the championship, then why did it take 15 minutes for somebody else to come over with it besides you?
Because
and you were actually going through the computer to find it.
I have great respect for Chris Carlin.
And no respect for me, who you've worked with for nearly 20 years.
You'll jump me,
then Carlin just throws out a team, and it's a legit team. I get it, 66 wins, didn't win a title. And then you go automatically, this is like the classic bad teammate. Go and support the guy that's not on the team to rip the guy that is on the team.
Wait.
And Peter, here's the kicker. It wasn't even one of Michael's guesses.
He's on the team. We're one whole team here on ESPN.
But we're talking about the specific – well, you know what? We're all on the same team.
That's right.
But the Michael Kasha, this is the same unit. We're the offense.
Wow.
You don't go outside the unit.
I don't look down my nose at other people that are
well,
on the
except
show.
Me. You don't look down on anybody else but me. You don't get argumentative with other people but me. Like whether it's Rick, whether it's Chris, you'll defend. Oh, they're part of the team. I'm just supporting a guy that I like.
I get
usually
argumentative
he's doing
with
that,
Chris.
Peter, while he's trying to disrespect me.
I get argumentative with Chris. I think he's an argumentative guy. He says things to argue. I thought that it was a legitimate point. Leaving out a 66 win team, I think makes the whole list.
Well, if it was that legitimate, then in the 30 minutes that we were doing the top five, maybe that should have been one of your guesses. Maybe
that is a little bit hyperbolic since it started
maybe.
At 4:30. It's 4:30.
Maybe
4:43.
Music was going. Yeah, people thought that it was some sort of middle of the road radio station, like on
those do
on
well.
AM.
Those do well.
It's
light like music does very well for some reason.
Don, we've seen this before.
If you don't like it, then do something about it. Go to management. Get rid of me.
Why does it always have
get
to be
that? Get rid of the MK out of TMKS. Do it if you think that makes the show better. Makes you guys happier. Do it.
But why does it
go
have to
get
go
me taken off?
Hey, Michael, why don't you try this? Hey, Don, great list.
I didn't think it was a great list. It's not that I didn't agree with your choices. I don't think it was a great list. It wasn't inspiring to me.
Peter, it was a great list?
I thought it was a very good list. I enjoyed
Andrew?
It.
So you just did some – that was just some verbal dancing. You don't think it's great. You thought it was very good.
I liked the last list he did more,
okay,
but I enjoyed this
well, I'll
lot.
Take a very good. Andrew, great list or very good or poor?
I loved this list. Big
he
fan
loved
of
it.
It.
You know, it's amazing. I can't win because what I wanted to do.
Andrew's become Ed McMahon. He really has.
Here's how I bend over backwards for this filth, Peter. I'm going to talk directly to you.
Okay, I'm here.
What I wanted to do from a topical list, the other night, Patrick Kane scored his 400th NHL goal. I was going to do top five American-born hockey players. I'm like, I can't do that. Michael will drift to sleep. I think Peter will make an effort like he always does, but he wouldn't really be interested. So you know what? Let me find something. And then somebody suggested on Twitter, and I was like, you know what? That's good. Because then my boys will be completely interested. They'll be engaged. This could be fun.
And what happens?
And he completely urinates on the list like he does all the time. And
what?
Really what he's doing is deflecting because he's irritated because he didn't come up with any real good guesses.
You're
he
right.
Finally had to dig up through how many hints and going to the internet to come up with the 07
oh,
Mavericks.
Yeah.
You're
you know,
absolutely
very
right.
Easily, Peter.
But
just,
you know
I
what?
Can give the top five.
I don't
and
have
move
to
on.
Genuflect
we want
to
get everybody engaged.
You need to be genuflected, too. That's not how I roll. I'm not going to do
no,
it. Sorry.
How about just, hey, even if you just said, hey,
Don, great job. Great
job
putting together a list. Great job. Not a great list, but a great job you doing it.
And this was by request, Peter, from Michael.
Well, listen, it's better than when we do our last one standing, and he starts out in a great mood because he's winning, and by the time he loses, he's just reading his cell phone and
this
not interested
is,
anymore.
This is Don striking out at me because I made fun of the orange yesterday, which became a big thing on Twitter. There's even now a Twitter follow about I'm Don's orange, something like that.
Is that true?
That's good because this next break, it's orange time.
You know, why don't you do it while we're on the air so the people that are watching us on Yes can see how very annoying it is.
No, I'm not going to eat on the air.
Show them how you carve it up.
No, I can do that when we come back. Exactly what's so disgusting? Listen, it might be disgusting. Nobody told you you got to look at me.
You're sitting in the same room as me for 4 hours. How can I not look at you? And you flaunted the orange. You never offered me a slice ever.
Flaunted the orange.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. It's Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Hope you're having a good Tuesday. 1-800-919-3776. Knicks against the Spurs tonight right here on 98.7 ESPN. And then it'll be the Nets against the Rockets tomorrow on Yes. So James Harden will have a return to the place that he left so sloppily. Let's go to Mark in Somers. Mark.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thank you very much for taking my call.
You got it.
Hey, listen, I just got to let Don know, in The Godfather, Marlon Brando put that orange in his gums, and then he just died.
I know.
You got to be careful, Don.
Right in front of his grandson.
While he was spraying
right in front
pesticide,
of the grandson.
Though. I always wondered the pesticide, I think, had something to do with it.
You think so?
I think that caused the heart to really speed up, and then he had a heart attack and just collapsed.
All right. Well, then, Don, just be careful, Don. I don't want you choking on any orange. We need you for the show.
It's a great thought, though, Mark. Thank you.
But I have the orange. I have them right here, Michael.
Yeah, I saw you. Actually, they're actually a little smaller than you used to carve
them
up.
So this is what I do. So I take the piece and I go like this.
Oh, so gross. How gross is that, Peter?
Well, I probably won't see it for 30 minutes or so.
Well, you'll see it right now.
It's not attractive, but how else you want to do it?
There's plenty of other ways to eat an orange. Oh, look, he's eating the rind.
There's a D on the word rind?
No,
yeah, I think so.
Please be wrong, God.
Let me see.
Yeah, he bites out every last bit of orange that's
Who
there.
Who cares?
I do!
Orange. I hope I'm right. If I'm wrong, I'll say I'm wrong. See, that's the difference between the two of us.
Here we go.
It is orange. Orange rind, R-I-N-D.
All right.
So, of course, I'm right. Let's go to Mel in New Jersey. Mel.
Hey, what's up, MVP? I mean, yeah, Don and Peter love the show, man, all the time. Real quick, I want to give a shout-out to all the parents because you don't have no days off. I mean, we appreciate you guys. I'll call my dad Pops. Now, I was talking about James Harden, man.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's talk James Harden, man. So, for the past three, 4 or 5 years, you know, James Harden been putting up these ridiculous numbers, crazy assists, crazy points, you know, and he even said it himself last year. You know, Giannis, he getting all this respect and stuff, but he really don't have no skill. You know what I'm saying? But I say that to say this, man. I like the system
Did you just say Giannis has no skill?
No. Last year, James Harden said that. I don't know if you remember that. It was a story.
I remember it.
Yep.
Yeah. So all I'm saying is that, you know, even back then, he felt like he wasn't getting all the credit and shine that he should get. You know, but, yeah. But Mike D'Antoni's system, as a Nets fan, you know, I wasn't excited when Mike D'Antoni came here and everything, and we were going to run this James Harden system. But looking at it even last night, you know, they went inside more. Even though he got a bunch of people on the outside and stuff, that opened up the inside for us. And I feel like we're going to take advantage of that. And I'm excited to see what we do this year. And James Harden going to keep putting up these ridiculous numbers. So enjoy the show, guys.
Thank you, man.
Covered a lot of ground.
Thanks, man.
He covered a lot of ground. He had checkpoints he wanted to get to. And wanted to tell us, call his dad Pop. I never call my dad Pop. I don't know why.
Me neither.
I just, It was always dad.
Yeah, I'm a big dad guy. I'm a dad guy. Now, a couple people have called us MDP today.
Where'd that come from? I've noticed that too, Peter.
Anyone know where that's coming from?
It sounds like MVP, so I'm fine with it.
MDP. Yeah, I don't hate it.
What does it stand for?
Oh. Michael, Don, and Peter. What does it stand for?
I didn't even think about it.
All right?
That was such an underrated, great moment that just happened.
Well, I didn't really think about it.
I mean...
Yeah, you didn't think at all. MDP. It does. I mean, you don't have to be a sleuth to come up with it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know what it
was
when I heard it.
You know what DCR stands for?
Well, yeah, otherwise we'd be dancing around with that the name of the show is. I'm glad they finally settled on something.
Well, it was either DCR or three guys who get together and do a sports talk radio show whose names are followed by their full names.
I had a nice back and forth with Dave Rothenberg last night.
Oh.
That fraud, I have to say.
Because our first favorite Giant player passed away last night.
John Mendenhall.
I did not know that. He had let me know, and John Mendenhall died. And even though Dave is not a lot younger, he's like 3-4 years younger than me. It was weird that that was both our favorite player, number 64. He was a defensive lineman, and I sent it out on Twitter last night. The very first Giant yearbook that I bought my own money at the Hawthorne Luncheonette was the 76 Giant yearbook, and he was on the cover.
Well,
he died at 72 yesterday. So
what
we
year did he play?
Back and forth, me and Dave.
What year did he stay with the Giants till?
He was there for 72 to 70. I think he was gone by 80, like 78, 79.
How was he Dave's first favorite player?
I know.
You know what? I'm with Michael. Fraud.
You know what? Dave is that guy. I hate the fact that he's that guy. He's the guy that when he hears somebody dies, has to call up somebody and be the first time to tell them. He wants to get the credit for the guy dying. That's exactly what he did with Don. Hey, Don, did you who died?
No,
that's
that
Dave Rothenberg.
Oh,
that wasn't what
said,
I was.
Did you hear John Mendenhall died?
Yeah, because he wanted to be the first one to tell you. The second it popped
I never
up,
saw
he
anybody.
Wanted to break that news to you.
Like, there are people, I've seen people that will do anything to find the good in someone. You will do anything to find the bad in someone.
It's rare. It's a rare trait.
He would pick apart Mother Teresa.
Nothing to pick apart.
Oh, did you ever see her eat a tuna sandwich?
Yeah, what a weirdo. She cut it into four pieces.
I'm telling you, you've all met that person that can't wait to tell you that somebody died.
But he's not that guy. That's the first time he's ever texted me. That's the first time that he's ever texted me.
Right,
no,
because
I do have a buddy
to tell
like
you about
that.
A death.
I do have a buddy like that. My buddy Mark always send a text, and it you laugh.
And you know,
it's not for people that we actually know. But if somebody famous dies, he'll say, "Remember when so and so was with us?" That's the text message I'll get. That's that guy you're talking about.
That's awful. An awful way to tell somebody that somebody passed. Awful.
But not somebody that you know.
That's who Dave is. Dave is jealous
of
me.
Dave,
Rick.
No, Dave
He's
was reaching out to a fellow Giant.
Death.
Hey,
I know
did you
David.
Hear John Mendenhall
I've met guys
He's
like
not going
to
send it to you because you'd be like, who's John Mendenhall?
I knew John Mendenhall. First of all, it's Mendenhall. It's not Mendenhall. I know exactly who he is. And I didn't feel like I had to call you immediately. Did you know that John Mendenhall died? I don't want to depress people. Dave wants to depress people and wants to get credit for their death. I know that guy. He's that guy.
Don, as you know, that's not even where I was going. I'm just surprised that it would be a player so before his time. It's like me being like, oh, my favorite Washington player.
John Mendenhall paid it forward. He was a real influence on George Martin, and George Martin was an influence on the guys that came after him.
Yeah,
John Mendenhall
was
a big part of what the Giants did.
I get it, but your
don't
favorite.
Don't tell me I don't know who John Mendenhall is.
But being your favorite player when you're that
you
much
read the obit. I'm sorry.
Wow. You guys are in a bad place.
But he starts with me.
I
Dave
just
sent another
Dave,
hey,
not you.
Hear John Mendenhall died, and now all of a sudden Dave's a bad guy. Like, I don't understand how I'm a bad guy. Dave's
Why is
a bad
all of a sudden?
Guy.
I've been saying
My
Dave's
list
a bad,
is
bad guy
bad.
For years. Dave's a bad guy.
Wow. He's one of the two or three best people at this radio
Oh,
station.
You know
Period.
What? You're so
he's,
so,
he's better than you.
The,
he's a better person than
oh,
you.
Yeah.
Up and
There's
down. He's a better broadcaster. He's better
Grasso.
Looking. He's a better friend. He's a better father. He's better than you at everything.
He's a better father.
Everything.
He left
he
his family because the Giants lost a tough game. That makes him a better father.
I'd rather spend I would rather spend 30 seconds with him than 100 years with you.
Oh, good, then go on his show. Let's make a trade. I'll take DiPietro, and you go and do the morning
show.
There's
a God in heaven make that deal, because you just drive me crazy. He is such a better person than you. See how it feels? See how it feels when somebody picks you apart? See how it feels when you just get the negative out of somebody? I just make a passing comment before the treasured, the holy 5 o'clock hour. That David let me know about John Mendenhall and the fact that we both had like a nice back and forth together, and Michael's got to rip it apart because, God forbid, if I have any kind of relationship outside this horse garbage 4 hours that I spend a day. So make the deal. I'll get up at 4:30 every morning. Make it. Make the deal.
You see this? You see this, Peter? This isn't. This is
hey, Michael,
important
look,
to him. This is not important to him.
Wow, you've really sent him to a bad place.
You know what sent him to a bad place? That Dick Tracy wasn't able to figure out what the initials were for the show. MDP. He couldn't figure that out. That's what sent him to a bad place. Dick Tracy. That's his name. Dick Tracy.
Yeah.
Dick Tracy.
I'll tell you that.
Yeah, go to the morning show. Go. I'll take DiPietro in an eye blink.
Oh, no. That's not the deal.
No, it's you for DiPietro.
Oh, yeah, make it. Go ahead, make it.
What did you think the deal was?
Show. Yeah, I'm sure you'll get great ratings. You two suck in face for 4 hours. That'll make for great radio. That'll be terrific. Oh, yes. Rick, yeah, that's what a great shirt you have on today. Oh, Michael, what a tremendous point you made. Peter, you'll throw up. Every 15 minutes into every show, you'd throw up. And you know what? We'd own mornings. We'd own it.
And then I'd have to deal with Michael saying, I've just received a text from Rick DiPietro, who's sitting right next to him.
And what you would not get is, oh, I just received a text from Don LaGreca. Lose the number.
It's the end. Wow.
Let's relax, everybody, because it's getting ugly. We're going to say things that we regret. I think Don's already said things that he's going to regret. So we'll take a quick time out and come back, and maybe we'll have a show. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you, MDP. Right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Top five NBA team seasons since 1990.
Carlin said, how do you leave off the 08-09 Cavs?
Who are you taking out? He can come up with his own list, and you can put the Cavs on if he wants.
When
if
I sell something, then I mean it. People know that I mean it. I'm not just saying it because, oh, that's a teammate. Sorry, that's not how I roll.
You're being argumentative.
I have great respect for Chris Carlin.
And no respect for me, who you've worked with for nearly 20 years. You'll jump me, and Carlin just throws out a team, and then you go automatically. This is like the classic bad teammate. Go and support the guy that's not on the team.
Yep.
To rip the guy that is
he's
on
not,
the team.
Wait.
And Peter, here's the kicker. It wasn't even one of Michael's guesses.
The Michael K. Show.
Hey, Michael, why don't you try this? Hey, Don, great list.
I didn't think it was a great list.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right. Let's try to make sense of things in the NFL. So, Jane Slater of the NFL Network reported today, maybe it was yesterday, that Dak Prescott will not sign a contract with the Cowboys unless he makes more money than anybody but Patrick Mahomes. Now, I know it's all about timing. I get it. But am I missing something with Dak Prescott? Am I missing something? Don, you've been watching football for 40 years, 40. Is Dak Prescott like a level below Patrick Mahomes? I mean, a full level below. But no. I don't even think
maybe
he's at
two.
That level. Aaron Rodgers is a level below Patrick Mahomes. I don't think that Dak Prescott's on Aaron Rodgers' level. Not even close.
No, he's a very good quarterback. That's where I'll go. He's not a great quarterback. He's a very good quarterback. You want
like
to rank
your list
him
from today.
Excuse me, I'm sorry?
It's like your list from today. It's very good. It wasn't great.
Well, some people beg to differ. But, you know, and you can look at his stats, but that they've had some pretty good teams there. And again, that MVP season that he was on his way to having like a couple of years ago, he kind of petered out a little bit later in the year. He kind of mopped up. That was, you know, they were playing the Dolphins and he was playing the Giants and Washington and he was kind of getting some big stats. And then when it came time later in the season against the better teams, he wasn't nearly as great. He's really had to rely on a very good running game with Ezekiel Elliott. For most of his career, he's had, what, a top five offensive line?
Yeah, for
and
the most
yet
part.
This
pretty
team
much.
Just doesn't really seem to go anywhere, and I think a lot of it has to somewhat to do with it. Again, very good quarterback. I wish the Giants had him. I hope Jones can be as good as Prescott's been. But you start talking about the second highest paid quarterback, and I understand the timing of it, Michael. Like when Matt Ryan was the highest paid quarterback or Eli Manning was the highest paid quarterback.
Cousins.
But he's trying to tell you he thinks he's the second best quarterback in the NFL. He's nuts.
And does he really expect to? From what I remember, Mahomes' deal is almost like $45 million a year. Russell Wilson's better than Dak Prescott. I mean, I can name at least five quarterbacks that are better than Dak Prescott. And again, timing is important. I get it. But if I'm the Cowboys and I have to know that I must give him a contract commensurate to what the Chiefs gave Mahomes, I'm parting ways. I'm not doing it. He's never shown that sort of greatness. You want to be compared with a quarterback that's been to two straight Super Bowls?
But what would
I would
you
call
do?
Up the Texans right now. You want Prescott? You give me Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's better than Prescott.
For sure.
Now, the problem the Cowboys get into, and I hate circling back to this all the time, is they gave Elliott that money. And now they don't want to give it to Prescott. As we can complain all we want about Prescott, you would have been better off having Elliott walk and have money for Prescott,
but
not even get into all this stuff.
Dak Prescott deserves to be well paid, but don't tell me record breaking contracts other than just under what Mahomes. To think that you should be in the same breath as Mahomes, you're not.
No.
You've never done anything.
And it's okay. There's a lot of quarterbacks. There's a lot of quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls that aren't in the same stratosphere as Mahomes. Right?
Yep.
So why do you have to go there? I mean, I think with the right talent, you know, I think Prescott's a very good quarterback, and I think he's a quarterback you could probably, you know, go pretty far with. I'm not sure you can win a championship necessarily unless you had a really, really good defense and got him, you know, the weapons and continue to keep the weapons that he has because he has some pretty good weapons right now. But, God.
Don,
that,
you
that
have a better memory.
Money.
You have a better memory than me when it comes to that. Didn't he lose a game that would have gotten the Cowboys in the playoffs? He just came up empty. Wasn't it a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I believe so.
Right? Yeah, against Philly. He went into Philly. If he wins that game, they're in the playoffs, and he completely was awful.
Listen, he's got a lot. Listen, Tony Romo was better because at least Tony Romo had like a 13-3 season when they lost to the Giants in that 07 season. But he's kind of Tony Romo. Good Dallas teams, but you know, kind of leaves you empty. The big performances when you need it, you wouldn't get it.
It's kind of what Prescott
is, but here's the thing. He's 27, so it's still possible he could be that. But when you're Dallas, you know, and you've already got a lot of money invested in Cooper, you already got a lot of money invested in Elliott, can you afford to pay him the second highest salary in the National Football League?
I used to get into big fights with Cowboy fans. I think Will Cain, when I used to do national radio more and he was here, I used to get into huge fights with people because I thought that they had the worst quarterback in the division. Or it was between him and Eli at the time. I always thought that Dak Prescott was like a more talented than usual game manager. That's what I thought of him. I've never seen the moment where you go, oh man, yes, that's it. He's good. Gets the job done. I mean, listen, in 2019, his stats were pretty crazy. 4,900 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 11 picks with a lot of weapons and a great offensive line. But that season was an aberration, more than 1,000 yards over his previous high to that. So I've never seen it You know, Keyshawn is in love, puts him on the highest level practically, and says the only difference is what teams you're on. But we've all seen Patrick Mahomes do things that we can't believe he's capable of. Aaron Rodgers, all the guys who live on that top tier, we've had our minds blown by before. I've never had my mind blown by Dak.
And let's not talk about him not having weapons. He's had some weapons there.
They have weapons right now.
He's got a great running back too. Yeah, I don't get it. You can ask for whatever you want, but if I'm the Cowboys and you know that that's going to be the price for this guy, I might look for other options. This portion of the Michael K Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Two by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Picker designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit Two by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, Westfield World Trade Center. Let's go to Will in Pearl River. Will.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. You?
I'm doing all right. Don, I'm very disturbed on your take that you think that Dave Rothenberg is a better guy than Michael Kay. I heard Dave this morning crying like a little five-year-old that he lost a Guess Your Grocery game this morning, okay, where he accused everybody of cheating all the way to the pinheaded suits. I know Michael has his moments, but for you to think that Dave Rothenberg is a better guy than Michael Kay, it's disturbing. And I got one more thing. I got a theory on why Peter has been made to wear long sleeves.
Okay.
Couple of weeks ago, he was wearing his red Lucky Charms shirt. It was on a Friday, and he was petting his arms like he was petting a dog. It was disturbing. You got to look at the film of it. But to say that Michael that Dave's a better guy than Michael. I know Michael has his moments, but there's no way you should go there, man. That's not right.
It's in a word hurtful, and I sit back and I don't get annoyed at that because I know that Don was striking out. There's no way that Don thinks that Dave is a better guy than me, better husband, better father,
better
broadcaster too. Okay, I'll play along. Because Don lives by that theory. Dave's the best pound-for-pound broadcaster on the station. Okay.
And you would say that's just because he has more pounds.
No. I think he's done a good job losing weight. We haven't seen him since his son's bar mitzvah.
Which was March 1st of last year. We're actually a calendar year removed from that day.
Wow. Which had every chance of being a super spreader event. We're lucky it wasn't.
Really? It's so true.
J.J. Watt said he texted with Kyler Murray yesterday and said, quote, "I'm here because I believe in you."
There you go.
Let's go to Ross in Oyster Bay. Ross.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Don threw low blows there. I know it's all good and fun, but he threw some low blows there. And I got to say that Dave Rothenberg, I mean, he's not a better person than Mike, but he's an excellent, excellent radio host. That we all know for sure. Anyway, I'm known for being quick, so I just wanted to say that in regards to the Dak Prescott situation, I would definitely take him and pay him the money only because it's so impossible to find a quarterback in a quarterback-driven league. And so, like Don's putting him on tiers, sure. Is he less than Mahomes? Yes. Is he less than Rodgers? Yes. But beyond that, he's not any below that third tier. Take care, guys.
Well, but you're going to give a guy who's a third-tier quarterback, which you have every right to do, $40 million a year. And you're not in a vacuum in the NFL. You give that guy some kind of money, you're not going to be able to do things with other people.
Just looking at the contract.
I mean, let's do something fun here that will anger people a lot, because that seems to be what I like to do.
All right.
But let's pick out the quarterbacks that are better than him, that you'd rather have than Dak Prescott.
All right, you throw him out, I'll tell you.
So you're going to be the voice of reason here?
Yes.
Okay. Let me call him up so I have him all in
front
of me.
This is kind of unfair, though.
Why?
Well, I'll show you how it's unfair as we get to certain players.
All right. Okay. I'm going to factor everything in, though. Talent, okay. Pool, I'll factor it all in. Just who would I rather have?
All right, here we go. Russell Wilson.
Wilson.
Matthew Stafford.
Draw.
Kyler Murray.
Murray.
Really?
But that's for potential, not that he's better at this moment. He's younger than what he could be.
Gorgeous Jimmy.
Dak.
Drew Brees.
At this moment?
Yeah.
Dak.
Tom Brady.
Has to always be Tom Brady.
Bridgewater.
Dak.
Matt Ryan.
At this moment, Dak.
All right, let's leave everybody from the East out. Those are all no's.
That's sad.
Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers.
Carson Wentz.
Dak.
Why did I say Wentz with the Bears? He's with the Colts. That, so
I was wondering that as
Trubisky.
Well. Trubisky. Dak.
Cousins.
Draw to... I'll go Dak by a
hair. You can disagree at any time you want, Don.
I'll go Dak by a hair, but that could go either way.
Goff.
Oh, another one. I'll go Dak by a hair.
Well, let's go to the AFC.
Okay.
Tannehill.
Dak.
Wentz.
Dak.
Deshaun.
Deshaun.
Jaguars, I mean, we can't. You want to put Trevor Lawrence in there?
No, I mean, yeah, just go.
Josh Allen.
Allen.
Tua.
Dak.
Patriots don't have a quarterback. Sam.
Dak.
Ben.
At this moment, Dak.
Let's see. Mayfield.
Dak? Like you could hear it. That tone was meant to be the answer.
Jackson.
Jackson.
Burrows.
Joe Burrow. I believe Burrow.
Mahomes.
Mahomes.
Carr.
Dak.
I always forget his name.
Justin
Kid's
Herbert.
Name from the Chargers. Herbert.
Very early to say, but Herbert certainly seems to be in the conversation. So,
and the Broncos really don't have a quarterback. So
here's why I laid out. Peter did an excellent job, by the way.
But you agreed with almost every word, right?
Yeah, but here's where I'll disagree. You'd rather have Dak than Brady because Dak is 27. So yeah, Brady's the better quarterback. But if I'm going to play football in 2021 and have to lock a guy down for the next foreseeable future, and I've got a choice between Brady and Prescott, I'm going to take Prescott just because he's 27. Same with Wilson. I think they're very close based on where Wilson is right now and how he played the last month of the season. Wilson's going to be 33 years old. So if I got to start a franchise, I'm probably going to start with Dak before Wilson because Dak is, I think, on the back nine. Where
no, with Dak's all, not on the back
no,
nine.
No, Wilson's on the back nine, and with Dak, as much as I don't think he's a great quarterback, at 27, going to be 28 years old, that's probably the guy that I'm going to go with. So that's why, like, comparing the better quarterbacks, I mean, the age matters.
But Wilson probably has six more years left.
Would
you
rather
have him over the next six?
No.
You don't think he has six more years left?
No.
Well, you can't be so sure.
Well, Brady could play till 45.
Well, Brady's a pocket quarterback. Part of Wilson's appeal is being able to run around and buy time. And as he starts to get older and the injuries start to pile up, he's not going to be doing that at 36, 37 years old. I think what you saw from Will, here's what I could be wrong about this, but here's my opinion. They were 12-4 last year, but clearly not the same team in the second half. He's carried that team for the last couple of years, keeping them relevant despite the fact that their defense has been awful. And I think it's really starting to show. Now, I'm not saying he's done. But 6 years? No, not 6 years from now. He's not doing that at 38, 39 years old. You know, because Breeze can do it. Breeze has got a little mobility, but, you know, Breeze did it
Russell
a lot with his arm.
Russell is so much better than Dak in terms of wins that he equals. It's worth
the absolutely.
Age.
But I think that now we're getting to see he's getting towards the end of his career. So, yeah, Brady's a better quarterback. Wilson's a better quarterback. But if I've got to get ready for football and I'm going to lock a guy down for the next 6-7 years, aren't you locking Prescott down for 6-7 years rather than Wilson?
No, because Wilson's that much better, in my opinion.
Now,
and again, I'm not a Prescott fan, per se. And he's got a lot of growing up to do as far as learning to win is concerned. And again, he doesn't throw a lot of touchdown passes. That big year where he almost threw for 5,000 yards and was the MVP of the first half of the season, he threw 30 touchdown passes. I mean, you guys got like Rodgers and Mahomes and even Brady throwing 40. So he's not on their level. But the best thing going for Prescott is We know he's got ability, and he's 27.
Now, when we get back, there's something that has been announced that has made me border on getting physically ill.
Wow.
I don't understand the world. I just don't. I don't get it. I don't get it. It's incomprehensible to me what I'm about to tell you. But I'll tell you that when we get back. Right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. All right, so I scroll through Twitter trying to get the latest news throughout the show, and I saw something on an account that didn't have a blue check mark. And I thought it was so outrageous, I said, this has to be fake. But it did have a kind of a real feel to it, but it didn't have a blue check mark. And neither does the great Rick DiPietro. We know how real he is.
You just got to tweet more. That's why he lost it, right?
I don't know. But then I saw it reported on the website of the Houston Chronicle, which does have a blue check mark. And to me, it's so odd and so seems like it comes from the Onion that I can't believe it's true. James Harden, who I've spoken about glowingly throughout the show and over the last week or so, that he's so much better than I thought he was, and I thought he was great, and I think he's at a level above that. The Rockets, Tillman Fertitta, their owner, told the Houston Chronicle he is going to retire James Harden's number, number 13. And the reason why it seems so spectacularly ill-advised to me, it has a feel like the Animal House scene. Thank you, sir. May I have another? This guy played his way off your team, disrespected your team, came into camp out of shape, played out of shape, disregarded COVID protocols, went to a little baby's birthday party when he wasn't supposed to be there. He did everything you could possibly do bad to get out of there. And I'm glad he did, because now I get a chance to watch him all the time. But you're going to retire his number? You're going to reward him and retire his number? Why? Do you want to be stomped on more by players? Do you want to be embarrassed more? The guy embarrassed the organization the way he got out of there, and now you're going to make him part of forever. Listen, 20 years down the road, he had an unbelievable run in Houston. He won an MVP there. His numbers are extraordinary. But you're going to announce now that you're going to retire his number after the way he got out of town? Am I wrong here?
No, but I think it's damage control. Their fan base must have sided with Harden, and he's trying to win some of them back. Why else would you do it?
Because you're a schmo.
Oh, maybe. But it sounds to me like he's trying to read the tea leaves of his fan base, who's probably red hot that he left, probably blaming the Rockets for it. And he's trying to win some of those fans back. Because really, when you retire a number, it's a gift to the fans. That's what you're doing. That the fans are the ones that care about it. You're hoping to fill the building and getting everybody to celebrate the legacy of that player. It doesn't really do anything for the franchise. And the player's already done, so it doesn't matter the relationship there. You do it for the fans. So I don't know the situation in Houston, but I'm guessing the fans want to see this.
But why would the fans side with Harden? I mean, do you think the Islanders would ever retire John Tavares' number?
You wouldn't think so after what happened. Now, I don't know what's going to happen 20 years from now, because Tavares was a great player, and he certainly probably, if he had stayed there, would have deserved to have his number retired.
Right.
But the way the fans went nuts against him, that there's no way they would do it. I mean, people wouldn't show up. They were turning their backs to him when he would come into the Coliseum to play the Islanders as a Leaf. So you wouldn't do it. Let's face it, you retire numbers, you honor players to try to get people to fill your building. That's what you do it for. So why would you do it unless you think the fan base wants it? So he must talk to their season ticket holders. makes no sense to me why the fans would support Harden.
Well, how about this, Don? Maybe they think that this is going to make nice to Harden because Harden probably doesn't talk well of the Rockets and that it will get to other players. Oh, look, they did right by him. It could be sending out a message to other players, too. So, Peter, you're awfully quiet on this. What do you think?
It's weird. I mean, listen, I agree with you. Down the line, retiring Harden's number for everything he was a part of on that team and how great he'll end up in the record books and just all-time greats, I get it. Right now, to announce it seems peculiar. I cannot imagine a fan who'd be super psyched about that at this moment.
I mean, there are some fans in the stands in Texas sport, and I'd say within days after the governor today, Governor Abbott announced everything's going to be open 100%. So they could actually have a full house if they want. I don't think tomorrow, as soon as tomorrow, but they did announce everything in Texas is going to be open 100%. So, restaurants, everything.
All right, so think about this.
So do you think he's going to get booed tomorrow?
Well, I guess we'll get our answer.
Because I don't see how he's not booed the way he got himself out of town.
Right, he should be. Absolutely. I would think every fan should hate Harden if you're a Rockets fan. He's spit in your face. Didn't want to play for your team. That's your favorite team. Didn't want to play for you. Same thing with Tavares. He could have signed with the Islanders, didn't sign with the Leafs. They hated him for it. And they'll never forgive him for it, or at least not in the recent history.
And he didn't come close to doing what Harden did. He might have just fibbed to them when they were going to trade him.
Right, but yeah, this is a guy that disrespected your franchise, came into camp overweight. You know, as you said, spit in the face of COVID protocol. Disrespected your franchise, he's out. Now he's killing it. New Jersey might win a championship there. And the Rockets are still waiting for their first championship since 95, right? But to announce it makes me think that he knows his fan base wants it. Because how do you announce that and then tomorrow he gets booed off the court? So, you know, Michael, you've been in this business a long time. You usually retire numbers to sell tickets because your fans demand to see that number retired. Why would you ever retire a number your fans don't want to see retired? That makes no sense.
Now, to get to more serious situations, the announcement by Governor Abbott today in Texas, how does every other municipality limit how many people could get into their events? If there's a state in the union that's saying everything is 100% open. 100%. 100% capacity. So Jerry Jones is going to have a full house at AT&T Stadium, and the Giants won't, and the Washington football team won't, and the Eagles won't. Now, hopefully by September we all will. But so that means that the Texas Rangers in Arlington will have a full house. But when the Texas Rangers come to Yankee Stadium,
right,
10%.
Well, I mean, you have it going on in our own city, Michael, where there's 2,000 people at a Knick game and 300 at a Net game.
But that's not because the Nets aren't allowed to have 300 people. They could have more. They're just taking it slow.
Well, but I'm saying, but how does that? Because they decided to take it slow, same state to state. You know, Texas wants to be aggressive with their reopen. New York and New Jersey want to be a little bit more conservative. So it's the same like within the city. The Rangers have 1,800 people at tonight's game against the Sabres. And the Devils will have 2,000 tonight, they're about like 1,600, I think. But the Islanders, you know, they haven't had anybody at their home games yet. So it's really not just up to the municipality, it's up to the team. So if you can have differences within the same city, of course you're going to have differences
The differences within the city are each individual team's choice, because the Islanders could have up to 10%. Same thing. With the Nets, they choose not to. I'm just saying that one state is saying everything is open, life is back to normal, and every other state is not at that level. It's weird.
Well, it's been going on since the beginning of this pandemic, Michael. I mean, you saw fans in Dallas, in Cleveland, in Cincinnati, in the NFL from the very beginning of the season in September. Right?
I will tell you this. I don't know if you guys agree with it. I haven't even talked to you guys about this off the air. I don't see why at a baseball game there can't be more than 10%. It's been proven scientifically that outdoors it's very, very difficult to transmit. So if you're outdoors, why isn't it more than it is indoors? If you have a 10% capacity limit at the Garden and at the Barclays Center, why isn't there a higher limit at Citi Field and Yankee Stadium or for the Jets and the Giants? That doesn't make sense, because that's going against science.
Yeah, I've wondered that too. It seems like there's a way to easily do more than 10% at baseball stadiums. And by the way, they may get there. I mean, we have, what, a little bit over a month?
April 1st, the Yankees open.
So we have 1 month.
Yep.
There's
I don't know
chance.
If they'll get there. We'll see.
Yeah, there's a, we'll see in a few weeks. I mean, there was just an announcement today that Biden says that by the end of May, everyone will be able to be...
They'll have enough vaccines.
They'll have enough vaccines.
By the time they roll it out, the way this whole country has done this, everybody will be vaccinated if they want to by the end of August. That's just my guess.
But, and last I heard, and things change by the second, so I apologize if something's been updated, but the last I heard that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine...
Yeah, it's being rolled out.
It's going to be rolled out, and they expect to have 20 million doses by the end of March. So, theoretically, that's 20 million people that could be vaccinated before we get to April. So, and that's a one dose, and that should be easier to ship because they don't have to have it in like freezing temperatures and dry ice. So, yeah, by the time we get to April or May and deep into baseball season, I could see those numbers going up. I mean, we already have 35% capacity in restaurants in New York City. That happened this past Friday, up from 25 just the, what, Valentine's Day. So it jumped by 10% indoor dining in less than a month.
Again, it's just the incongruity of it all from state to state within the country. So you could have 35% capacity at a small indoor venue to eat, but they're going to hold Citi Field and Yankee Stadium to 10% at an outdoor venue. Doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you're in a restaurant, 35% is way different than 35% outdoors in a 50,000-seat stadium. That's just my two cents. 1-800-919-3776. I'm being told by Andrew that we're going to have a surprise guest coming up.
Interesting.
Yeah,
really?
I don't know what it's about, but we'll see.
I have a feeling.
And we'll deal with it. You do?
I have a guess I could make, but I don't want to spoil it. I don't know anything. It would just be a guess.
Okay.
I hope I'm right.
Oh, really? Let's live it together when we get back right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.